Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Dena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Maum Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirveda Shumari Paschati Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're reading from the 8th canto, part 3, Withdrawal of the Cosmic Creations, and this is chapter 17. So I'm going to read the summary to chapter 17, and then I'm going to jump right into number 18, and we'll go into the summary and then the verses. Chapter 17, the Supreme Lord agrees to become Aditi's son. As explained in this chapter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being very pleased by the Payovrata ceremony performed by Aditi, appeared before her in full opulence. At her request, the Lord agreed to become her son. After Aditi performed the Payovrata ceremony for 12 continuous days, the Lord, who was certainly very pleased with her, appeared before her with four hands and dressed in yellow garments. As soon as Aditi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead present before her, she immediately got up, and with great ecstatic love for the Lord, she fell to the ground to offer respectful obeisances. Aditi's throat was choked because of ecstatic feelings, and her entire body trembled with devotion. Although she wanted to offer suitable prayers to the Lord, she could not do anything, and thus she remained silent for some time. Then feeling solace, observing the beauty of the Lord, she offered her prayers. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul of all living entities, was very pleased with her, and he agreed to become her son by incarnating as a plenary expansion. He was already pleased by Kashyapa Muni's austerities, and thus he agreed to become their son and maintain the demigods. After giving his word of honor to this effect, the Lord disappeared. Following the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Aditi engaged in the service of Kashyapa Muni, who could see by samadhi that the Lord was within him, and who thus placed his semen in the womb of Aditi. Lord Brahma, who is known as Hiranyagarbha, understood that the Supreme Personality of God had entered Aditi's womb, thus he offered prayers to the Lord. Chapter 18, Lord Vamanadeva, the Dwarf Incarnation. This chapter describes how Lord Vamanadeva appeared and how he went to the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Bali, who received him well and fulfilled his desire by offering him benedictions. Lord Vamanadeva appeared in this world from the womb of Aditi, completely equipped with conch shell, disc, club, and lotus. His bodily hue was blackish, and he was dressed in yellow garments. Lord Vishnu appeared at an auspicious moment on the Shravana Dwadashi, when the Abhijit star had arisen. At that time, in all the three worlds, including the higher planetary system, outer space, and this earth, all the demigods, the cows, the brahmanas, and even the seasons were happy because of God's appearance. Therefore, this auspicious day is called Vijaya, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has a Sakchidananda body, appeared as a son of Kashyapa and Aditi. Both of his parents were very astonished. After his appearance, the Lord assumed the form of a dwarf, Vaman. All the great sages expressed their jubilation, and with Kashyapa Muni before them, they performed the birthday ceremony of Lord Vaman. At the time of Lord Vamanadeva's sacred thread ceremony, he was honored by the sun god Brihaspati, the goddess presiding over the planet Earth, the deity of the heavenly planets, his mother, Lord Brahma, Kuvera, the seven rishis, and others. Lord Vamanadeva then visited the sacrificial arena on the northern side of the Narmada River at the field known as Bhrigu Kaksha, where the brahmanas of the Bhrigu dynasty were performing yajnas. Wearing a belt made of munja straw, an upper garment of deerskin and a sacred thread, and carrying in his hands a danda, an umbrella, and a water pot, kamandalu, Lord Vamandev appeared in the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Bali. Because of his transcendentally effulgent presence, all the priests were diminished in their prowess, and thus they all stood from their seats and offered prayers to Lord Vamandev. Even Lord Shiva accepts on his head the Ganges water generated from the toe of Vamandev. Therefore, after washing the Lord's feet, Bali Maharaj immediately accepted the water from the Lord's feet on his head and felt that he and his predecessors had certainly been glorified. Then Bali Maharaj inquired of Lord Vamandev's welfare and requested the Lord to ask him for money, jewels, or anything he might desire. Text 1. Shri Shukovacha Itam Varincha Stutakarma Virya Pradurbha Puva Mritapur Adityam Chaturabuja Shanka Gadabja Chakra Pishangavasa Nalina Yatekshanaha. Shukadev Goswami said, after Lord Brahma had thus spoken, glorifying the Supreme Lord's activities and prowess, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never subject to death like an ordinary living being, appeared from the womb of Aditi. His four hands were decorated with a conch shell, club, lotus, and disc. He was dressed in yellow garments, and his eyes appeared like the petals of a blooming lotus. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The word Amritabhu is significant in this verse. The Lord sometimes appears like an ordinary child taking birth, but this does not mean that he is subject to birth, death, or old age. One must be very intelligent to understand the appearance and activities of the Supreme Lord in his incarnations. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvataha. One should try to understand that the Lord's appearance and disappearance and his activities are all divyam or transcendental. The Lord has nothing to do with material activities. One who understands the appearance, disappearance, and activities of the Lord is immediately liberated. After giving up his body, he never again has to accept a material body, but is transferred to the spiritual world. Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sorjuna. Text 2. Shama vidato jasharaja kundala twishola sachtri vada nambuja puman shivatsa vaksha balanan balayan kadolasat kirita kanchi guna charun nupuraha. The body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, blackish in complexion, was free from all inebrieties. His lotus face, decorated with earrings resembling sharks, appeared very beautiful, and on his bosom was the mark of Srivatsa. He wore bangles on his wrists, armlets on his arms, a helmet on his head, a belt on his waist, a sacred thread across his chest, and ankle bells decorating his lotus feet. 3. Madhuvrata vrata vigushtaya swaya virajita shri vanamalaya harihi prajapatir veshma tamasvarochisa vinashayan kanta nivishta kaushtubha. An uncommonly beautiful garland of flowers decorated his bosom, and because the flowers were extremely fragrant, a large group of bees, making their natural humming sounds, invaded them for honey. When the Lord appeared, wearing the Kashtubha gem on his neck, his effulgence vanquished the darkness in the home of Prajapati Kashyapa. 4. Disha prasedhu shalila shayastada praja prahrishta
Ritavo gunan vita Dhyaur antariksham shitir angiji vaha Gavo dvija sangja rishur nagascha.
At that time, there was happiness in all directions, in the reservoirs of water like the rivers and oceans, and in the core of everyone's heart. The various seasons displayed their respective qualities, and all living entities in the upper planetary system, in outer space, and on the surface of the earth were jubilant. The demigods, the cows, the brahmanas, and the hills and mountains were filled with joy. 5.
Shonayam shravana dvadashyam mahurte bijita prabhu sarve nakshatratara dyash chakrus taj janmadakshinam.
On the day of Shravana Dwadashi, the 12th day of the bright fortnight in the month of Bhadra, when the moon came into the lunar mansion, Shravan. At the auspicious moment of Abhijit, the Lord appeared in this universe. Considering the Lord's appearance very auspicious, all the stars and planets, from the sun to Saturn, were munificently charitable. Purport. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, an expert astrologer, explains the word nakshatra trayadhya. The word nakshatra means the stars. The word tara in this context refers to the planets, and adhya means the first one specifically mentioned. Among the planets, the first is Surya, the sun, not the moon. Therefore, according to the Vedic version, the modern astronomer's proposition that the moon is nearest to the earth should not be accepted. The chronological order in which people all over the world refer to the days of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, corresponds to the Vedic order of the planets and thus circumstantiates the Vedic version. Apart from this, when the Lord appeared, the planets and stars became situated very auspiciously according to astrological calculations to celebrate the birth of the Lord. Text 6. Dvadashyam samavitashtan madhyandina gatonripa vijaya namasa prokta yasyam janma vidurharahe. O King, when the Lord appeared on Dwadashi, the 12th day of the moon, the sun was at the meridian. As every learned scholar knows, this Dwadashi is called Vijaya. 7.
Shankad dundubayo nidhur mridanga pana vanaka chitravaditra turyanam nirgoshas tumalo bhavat.
Conch shells, kettle drums, panavas, and anakas vibrated in concert. The sound of these and various other instruments was tumultuous. Being very pleased, the celestial dancing girls, apsaras, danced in jubilation. The best of the Gandharvas sang songs, and the great sages, demigods, manus, pitas, and fire gods offered prayers to satisfy the Lord. The Siddhas, Vidyadharas, Kimpurushas, Kinnaras, Chanaras, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Suparnas, the best of the serpents and the followers of the demigods, all showered flowers on Aditi's residence, covering the entire house, while glorifying and praising the Lord and dancing. When Aditi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had appeared from her own womb, having accepted a transcendental body by his own spiritual potency, she was struck with wonder and very happy. Upon seeing the child, Prajapati Kashyapa exclaimed, "Jai, Jai," in great happiness and wonder. The Lord appeared in his original form with ornaments and weapons in his hands. Although this ever-existing form is not visible in the material world, he nonetheless appeared in this form. Then, in the presence of his father and mother, he assumed the form of Vaman, a brahmana dwarf, a brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. Purport. The word nata is significant. An actor changes dress to play different parts, but is always the same man. Similarly, as described in the Brahma Sanghita 533-39, 5:33 and 39. The Lord assumes many thousands and millions of forms. Advaitam, Achutam, Anadim, Anantarupam, Adyam, Puranam, Purusham. He is always present with innumerable incarnations. Ramadi Mutishu, Kalani Amena Chishtan, Nana Avataram, Akarod, Bhuvaneshu, Kintu. Nonetheless, although he appears in various incarnations, they are not different from one another. He is the same person with the same potency, the same eternity, and the same spiritual existence, but he can simultaneously assume various forms. When Vamanadeva appeared from the womb of his mother, he appeared in the form of Narayan, with four hands equipped with the necessary symbolic weapons, and then immediately transformed himself into a brahmachari, vatu. This means that his body is not material. One who thinks that the Supreme Lord assumes a material body is not intelligent. He has to learn more about the Lord's position. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4:9, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvataha. One has to understand the transcendental appearance of the Lord in his original transcendental body, Sakchidananda Vigraha. When the great sages saw the Lord as the brahmachari dwarf Vamanadeva, they were certainly very pleased. Thus they placed before them Kashyapa Muni, the Prajapati, and performed all the ritualistic ceremonies such as the birth ceremony. Purport: according to Vedic civilization, when a child is born in the family of a Brahmana, the birthday ceremony, known as Jatakarma, is first performed, and then other ceremonies are also gradually performed. But when this Vamana Rupa appeared in the form of a Vatu, or Brahmachari, his sacred thread ceremony was also performed immediately. 14. At the sacred thread ceremony of Vamanadeva, the sun god personally uttered the Gayatri mantra. Brihaspati offered the sacred thread, and Kashyapa Muni offered a straw belt. Mother Earth gave him a deer skin, and the demigod of the moon, who is the king of the forest, gave him a Brahman danda, a Brahma danda, the rod of a brahmachari. His mother, Aditi, gave him cloth for underwear, and the deity presiding over the heavenly kingdom offered him an umbrella. O king, Lord Brahma offered a water pot to the inexhaustible Supreme Personality of Godhead. The seven sages offered him kusha grass, and Mother Saraswati gave him a string of Rudraksha beads. When Vamanadeva had thus been given the sacred thread, Kuvera, king of the Yakshas, gave him a pot for begging alms, and Mother Bhagavati, the wife of Lord Shiva and most chaste mother of the entire universe, gave him his first alms. Having thus been welcomed by everyone, Lord Vamanadeva, the best of the brahmacharis, exhibited his Brahman effulgence. Thus he surpassed in beauty that entire assembly, which was filled with great saintly brahmanas. After Lord Sri Vamanadeva set a sacrificial fire, he offered worship and performed a fire sacrifice on the sacrificial field. When the Lord heard that Bali Maharaj was performing Ashwamedha sacrifices under the patronage of brahmanas belonging to the Bhrigu dynasty, the Supreme Lord, who was full in every respect, proceeded there to show his mercy to Bali Maharaj. By his weight, he pushed down the earth with every step. Purport: the Supreme Personality of God is Akila Sara Samvrita. In other words, he is the proprietor of everything essential in this material world. Thus, although the Lord was going to Bali Maharaj to beg something, he is always complete and has nothing to beg from anyone. Indeed, he is so powerful that in his full opulence, he pressed down the surface of the earth at every step. While engaged in performing the sacrifice in the field known as Bhrigu Kacha, on the northern bank of the Narmada River, the Brahminical priests, the descendants of Bhrigu, saw Vamanadeva to be like the sun rising nearby. O king, because of Vamanadeva's bright effulgence, the priests, along with Bali Maharaj, and all the members of the assembly, were robbed of their splendor. Thus they began to ask one another whether the sun god himself Sanat Kumara, or the fire god, had personally come to see the sacrificial ceremony. Well, the priests of the Bhrigu dynasty and their disciples talked and argued in various ways. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, holding in his hands the rod, the umbrella, and a water pot full of water, entered the arena of the Ashwamedha sacrifice. Appearing as a Brahmana boy, wearing a belt of straw, a sacred thread, an upper garment of deerskin, and matted locks of hair, Lord Vamanadeva entered the arena of sacrifice. His brilliant effulgence diminished the brilliance of all the priests and their disciples, and who thus stood from their seats and welcomed the Lord properly by offering obeisances. Bali Maharaj, jubilant at seeing Lord Vamanadeva, whose beautiful limbs contributed equally to the beauty of his entire body, offered him a seat with great satisfaction. Thus offering a proper reception to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always beautiful to the liberated souls, Bali Maharaj worshipped him by washing his lotus feet. Tatpadashaucham janakal mashapaham sadharma vinmurd yadadhat samangalam yadeva devo girishash chandra mule maulir dadhara murdna paraya chabaktya. Lord Shiva, the best of demigods, who carries on his forehead the emblem of the moon, receives on his head with great devotion the Ganges water emanating from the toe of Vishnu. Being aware of religious principles, Bali Maharaj knew this. Consequently, following in the footsteps of Lord Shiva, he also placed on his head the water that had washed the Lord's lotus feet. Purport. Lord Shiva is known as Gangadhar, or one who carries the water of the Ganges on his head. On Lord Shiva's forehead is the emblem of the half moon, yet to give supreme respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shiva placed the water of the Ganges above this emblem. This example should be followed by everyone, or at least by every devotee, because Lord Shiva is one of the Mahajans. Similarly, Maharaj Bali also later became a Mahajan. One Mahajan follows another Mahajan, and by following the Parampara system of Mahajan activities, one can become advanced in spiritual consciousness. The water of the Ganges is sanctified because it emanates from the toe of Lord Vishnu. Bali Maharaj washed the lotus feet of Vamanadeva, and the water with which he did so became equal to the Ganges. Bali Maharaj, who perfectly knew all religious principles, therefore took that water on his head, following in the footsteps of Lord Shiva. Shri Balir Uvacha Swagatam Te Namastubhyam Brahman Kim Karavamate Brahmarshinam Tapa Sakshan Manye Twarya Vapur Dharam. Bali Maharaj then said to Lord Vaman, O Brahmana, I offer you my hearty welcome and my respectful obeisances. Please let us know what we may do for you. We think of you as the personified austerity of the great Brahmana sages. Adyana pitaras tripta adyana pavitam kulam adya shvishta kratur ayam yad pavam agato grana grahan. O my Lord, because you have kindly arrived at our home, all my forefathers are satisfied. Our family and entire dynasty have been sanctified, and the sacrifice we are performing is now complete because of your presence. O son of a Brahmana, today the fire of sacrifice is ablaze according to the injunction of the Shastra, and I have been freed from all the sinful reactions of my life by the water that has washed your lotus feet. O my Lord, by the touch of your small lotus feet, the entire surface of the world has been sanctified. O son of a Brahmana, it appears that you have come here to ask me for something. Therefore, whatever you want, you may take from me.
O best of those who are worshipable, you may take from me a cow, gold, a furnished house, palatable food and drink, the daughter of a brahmana for your wife, prosperous villages, horses, elephants, chariots, or whatever you desire. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 18th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Vamanadeva, the Dwarf Incarnation. Chapter 19, Lord Vamanadeva begs charity from Bali Maharaj. This 19th chapter describes how Lord Vamanadeva asked for 3 paces of land in charity, how Bali Maharaj agreed to his proposal, and how Shukracharya forbade Bali Maharaj to fulfill Lord Vamanadeva's request. When Bali Maharaj, thinking Vamanadeva to be the son of a Brahmin, told him to ask for anything he liked, Lord Vamanadeva praised Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha for their heroic activities, and after thus praising the family in which Bali Maharaj had been born, he begged the king for 3 paces of land. Bali Maharaj agreed to give this land in charity, since this was very insignificant. But Shukracharya, who could understand that Vamanadeva was Vishnu, the friend of the demigods, forbade Bali Maharaj to give this land. Shukracharya advised Bali Maharaj to withdraw his promise. He explained that in subduing others, in joking, in responding to danger, in acting for the welfare of others, and so on, one could refuse to fulfill one's promise, and there would be no fault. By this philosophy, Shukracharya tried to dissuade Bali Maharaj from giving land to Lord Vamanadeva. Text 1. Shri Shuku Vacha Iti Varo Chaner Vakyam Dharma Hyuktam Sundritam Nishamya Bhagavan Prita Pratinad Yedjam Abravit. Shukadeva Goswami continued, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, heard Bali Maharaj speaking in this pleasing way, he was very satisfied. For Bali Maharaj had spoken in terms of religious principles. Thus the Lord began to praise him. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Vachastava Taitajjan Vachastavaitajjanadeva Sundritam Kulochitam Dharma Yutam Yashaskaram Yasya Pramanam Bhrigava Samaparaye Pita Maha Kula Vrida Prashantaha. The Supreme Personality of God had said, O King, you are indeed exalted because your present advisors are the Brahmanas who are descendants of Bhrigu, and because your instructor for your future life is your grandfather, the peaceful and venerable Prahlad Maharaj. Your statements are very true, and they completely agree with religious etiquette. They are in keeping with the behavior of your family, and they enhance your reputation. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj is a vivid example of a pure devotee. Someone might argue that since Prahlad Maharaj, even though very old, was attached to his family, and specifically to his grandson, Bali Maharaj, how could he be an ideal example? Therefore, this verse uses the word prashantaha. A devotee is always sober. He is never disturbed by any conditions. Even if a devotee remains in grihastha life and does not renounce material possessions, he should still be understood to be prashanta, sober, because of his pure devotion to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore said, Kiba bipra kiba nyasi shudra kene nai, ye krishna tatpa beta she guru hoy. Whether one is a brahmana, a sannyasi, or a shudra, regardless of what he is, he can become a spiritual master if he knows the science of Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 8.128. Anyone completely aware of the science of Krishna, regardless of his status in life, is a guru. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj is a guru in all circumstances. Here, his lordship, Vamanadeva, also teaches sannyasis and brahmacharis that one should not ask more than necessary. He wanted only 3 paces of land, although Bali Maharaj wanted to give him anything he wanted. Na hi tasmin kule kashchin nishatva kripana puman pratyakyata pratishrutya yavadata dvijataye. I know that even until now, no one taking birth in your family has been poor-minded or miserly. No one has refused to give charity to brahmanas. Nor, after promising to give charity, has anyone failed to fulfill his promise. O King Bali, never in your dynasty has the low-minded king been born, who upon being requested has refused charity to brahmanas in holy places or a fight to kshatriyas on a battlefield. And your dynasty is even more glorious due to the presence of Prahlad Maharaj, who is like the beautiful moon in the sky. Purport. The symptoms of a kshatriya are given in the Bhagavad Gita. One of the qualifications is the willingness to give charity, dan. A kshatriya does not refuse to give charity when requested by a brahmana, nor can he refuse to fight another kshatriya. A king who does refuse is called low-minded. In the dynasty of Bali Maharaj, there were no such low-minded kings. Yato jato hiranyakash hiranyakshas charanam charan eka imam mahim prati viryan drig vijaye na vindata gadad yudaha. It was in your dynasty that Hiranyaksha was born. Carrying only his own club, he wandered the globe alone, without assistance, to conquer all directions, and no hero he met could rival him. When delivering the earth from the Garbhadak sea, Lord Vishnu, in his incarnation as a boar, killed Hiranyaksha, who had appeared before him. The fight was severe, and the Lord killed Hiranyaksha with great difficulty. Later, as the Lord thought about the uncommon prowess of Hiranyaksha, he felt himself victorious indeed. When Hiranyakashipu heard the news of his brothers being killed, with great anger he went to the residence of Vishnu, the killer of his brother, wanting to kill Lord Vishnu. Seeing Hiranyakashipu coming forward bearing a trident in his hand, like personified death, Lord Vishnu, the best of all mystics and the knower of the progress of time, thought as follows. Yato yatoham tatrasu tatrasaho mrityu prana britam iva atoham asya hridayam pravikshyami praragdrisha. Wheresoever I go, Hiranyakashipu will follow me, as death follows all living entities. Therefore, it is better for me to enter the core of his heart, for then, because of his power to see only externally, he will not see me. Lord Vamanadeva continued, O king of the demons, after Lord Vishnu made this decision, he entered the body of his enemy, Hiranyakashipu, who was running after him with great force. In a subtle body inconceivable to Hiranyakashipu, Lord Vishnu, who was in great anxiety, entered Hiranyakashipu's nostril along with his breath. Purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is already in the core of everyone's heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hride shanarjuna tishtati, Bhagavad Gita 18:61. Logically, therefore, it was not at all difficult for Lord Vishnu to enter Hiranyakashipu's body. The word vivigna cheta, very anxious, is significant. It is not that Lord Vishnu was afraid of Hiranyakashipu, rather because of his compassion, Lord Vishnu was in anxiety about how to act for his welfare. Upon seeing that the residence of Lord Vishnu was vacant, Hiranyakashipu began searching for Lord Vishnu everywhere. Angry at not seeing him, Hiranyakashipu screamed loudly and searched the entire universe, including the surface of the earth, the higher planetary systems, all directions, and all the caves and oceans. But Hiranyakashipu, the greatest hero, did not see Vishnu anywhere. Unable to see him, Hiranyakashipu said, I have searched the entire universe, but I could not find Vishnu, who has killed my brother. Therefore, he must certainly have gone to that place from which no one returns. In other words, he must now be dead. Purport. Atheists generally follow the Buddha philosophical conclusion that at death everything is finished. Hiranyakashipu, being an atheist, thought this way. Because Lord Vishnu was not visible to him, he thought that the Lord was dead. Even today, many people follow the philosophy that God is dead. But God is never dead. Even the living entity who is part of God never dies. Najayate mrite va kadachit. For the soul, there is never birth nor death. This is the statement of Bhagavad Gita 2.20. Even the ordinary living entity never takes birth or dies. What then is to be said of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the chief of all living entities? He certainly never takes birth or dies. Ajopi san avyaya ma, Bhagavad Gita 4.6. Both the Lord and the living entity exist as unborn and inexhaustible personalities. Thus, Hiranyakashipu's conclusion that Vishnu was dead was wrong. As indicated by the words, yato navartate puman, there is certainly a spiritual kingdom, and if the living entity goes there, he never returns to this material world. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Chaktva deham punarjanma naitimam eti sorjuna. Materially speaking, every living entity dies. Death is inevitable. But those who are karmis, jnanis, and yogis return to this mature world after death, whereas bhaktas do not. Of course, if a bhakta is not completely perfect, he takes birth in the material world again, but in a very exalted position, either in a rich family or a family of the purest brahmanas, suchinam srimatam gehe, just to finish his development in spiritual consciousness. Those who have completed the course of Krishna consciousness and are free from material desire return to the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yad gatva nanivartante tadhama paramangmama. Here the same fact is stated. Yato navartate puman. Any person who goes back home, back to Godhead, does not return to this material world. Text 13. Hiranyakashipu's anger against Lord Vishnu persisted until his death. Other people in the bodily concept of life maintain anger only because of false ego and the great influence of ignorance. Purport. Generally speaking, even though the conditioned soul is angry, his anger is not perpetual but temporary. It is due to the influence of ignorance. Hiranyakashipu, however, maintained his enmity and his anger against Lord Vishnu until the point of death. He never forgot his vengeful attitude toward Vishnu for having killed his brother, Hiranyaksha. Others in the bodily concept of life are angry at their enemies, but not at Lord Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu, however, was everlastingly angry. He was angry not only because of false prestige, but also because of continuous enmity toward Vishnu. Text 14. Your father, Virochana, the son of Maharaj Prahlad, was very affectionate toward brahmanas, although he knew very well that it was the demigods who had come to him in the dress of brahmanas. At their request, he delivered to them the duration of his life. Purport, Maharaj Virochana, Bali's father, was so pleased with the brahmana community that even though he knew that those approaching him for charity were the demigods in the dress of brahmanas, he nonetheless agreed to give it. You also have observed the principles followed by great personalities who are householder brahmanas, by your forefathers and by great heroes who are extremely famous for their exalted activities. O King of the Daityas, from your majesty, who come from such a noble family and who are able to give charity munificently, I ask only 3 paces of land to the measurement of my steps. Purport. Lord Vamanadeva wanted 3 paces of land according to the measurement of his footsteps. He did not want more than necessary. But although he pretended to be an ordinary human child, he actually wanted the land comprising the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. This was just to show the prowess of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 17. Nanyate kamaye rajan vadanyaj jagad ishwarad naina prapnoti vai vidvan yavadarta pratigraha. O King, controller of the entire universe, although you are very munificent and are able to give me as much land as I want, I do not want anything from you that is unnecessary. If a learned brahmana takes charity from others only according to his needs, he does not become entangled in sinful activities. Purport, a brahmana or sannyasi is qualified to ask charity from others, but if he takes more than necessary, he is punishable. No one can use more of the Supreme Lord's property than necessary. Lord Vamanadeva indirectly indicated to Bali Maharaj that he was occupying more land than he needed. In the material world, all distresses are due to extravagance. One acquires money extravagantly and also spends it extravagantly. Such activities are sinful. All property belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all living entities who are sons of the Supreme Lord have the right to use the Supreme Father's property, but one cannot take more than necessary. This principle should be especially followed by brahmanas and sannyasis who live at the cost of others. Thus, Vamanadeva was an ideal beggar, for he asked only 3 paces of land. Of course, there is a difference between his footsteps and those of ordinary human being. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his inconceivable prowess, can occupy the entire universe, including the upper, lower, and middle planetary systems, by the unlimited measurement of his footsteps. Text 18, Sri Bali Ruvacha, Aho Brahmana Dayada, Vachaste Vrita Sammataha, Tambalo Balisha Mati, Swartam Prat Yubhado Yata. Bali Maharaj said, O son of a Brahmana, your instructions are as good as those of learned and elderly persons. Nonetheless, you are a boy, and your intelligence is insufficient. Thus, you are not very prudent in regard to your self-interest. Purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being full in himself, actually has nothing to want for his self-interest. Lord Vamanadeva, therefore, had not gone to Bali Maharaj for his own self-interest. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 5.29, Bhuktaram Jagyatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, the Lord is the proprietor of all planets in both the material and spiritual worlds. Why should he be in want of land? Bali Maharaj rightly said that Lord Vamanadeva was not at all prudent in regard to his own personal interests. Lord Vamanadeva had approached Bali not for his personal welfare, but for the welfare of his devotees. Devotees sacrifice all personal interests to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and similarly, the Supreme Lord, although having no personal interests, can do anything for the interests of his devotees. One who is full in himself has no personal interests. Text 19. I am able to give you an entire island because I am the proprietor of the 3 divisions of the universe. You have come to take something from me and have pleased me by your sweet words, but you are asking only 3 paces of land, therefore you are not very intelligent. Purport, according to Vedic understanding, the entire universe is regarded as an ocean of space. In that ocean, there are innumerable planets, and each planet is called dweep, or island. When approached by Lord Vamanadeva, Bali Maharaj was actually in possession of all the dweeps, or islands in space. Bali Maharaj was very pleased to see the features of Vamanadeva and was ready to give him as much land as he could ask. But because Lord Vamanadeva asked only 3 paces of land, Bali Maharaj considered him not very intelligent. Text 20. Oh, small boy, one who approaches me to beg something should not have to ask anything more anywhere. Therefore, if you wish, you may ask for me as much land as will suffice to maintain you according to your needs. The Personality of God had said, Oh, my dear King, even the entirety of whatever there may be within the 3 worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled. Purport, the material world is an illusory energy to deviate the living entities from the path of self-realization. Anyone who is in this material world is extremely anxious to get more and more things for sense gratification. Actually, however, the purpose of life is not sense gratification, but self-realization. Therefore, those who are too addicted to sense gratification are advised to practice the mystic yogic system or Ashtanga yoga system consisting of yam, niyam, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, and so on. In this way, one can control the senses. The purpose of controlling the senses is to stop one's implication in the cycle of birth and death, as stated by Rishabhadeva. Nunam brahmata kudite vikarma yirindriya prita ya apranoti nasadhumanye ita atmanoyam asan apikleshada asadehaha. When a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body which, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Actually, the living entity should not have taken on a material body, but he has been awarded the material body for sense gratification. Therefore, I think it not befitting an intelligent man to involve himself again in the activities of sense gratification, by which he perpetually gets material bodies one after another. Bhagavatam 5.5.4. Thus, according to Rishabhadeva, the human beings in this material world are just like madmen engaged in activities which they should not perform, but which they do perform only for sense gratification. Such activities are not good, because in this way one creates another body for his next life, as punishment for his nefarious activities. As soon as he gets another material body, he is put into repeated suffering and material existence. Therefore, the Vedic culture or Brahminical culture teaches one how to be satisfied with possessing the minimum necessities in life. To teach this highest culture, Varnashram Dharma is recommended. The aim of the Varnashram divisions, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, is to train one to control the senses and be content with the bare necessities. Here Lord Vamanadeva, as an ideal brahmachari, refuses Bali Maharaja's offer to give him anything he might want. He says that without contentment, one could not be happy even if he possessed the property of the entire world or the entire universe. In human society, therefore, the Brahminical culture, Kshatriya culture, and Vaishya culture must be maintained, and people must be taught how to be satisfied with only what they need. In modern civilization, there is no such education. Everyone tries to possess more and more, and everyone is dissatisfied and unhappy. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore establishing various farms, especially in America, to show how to be happy and content with minimum necessities of life and to save time for self-realization, which one can very easily achieve by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Text 22. If I were not satisfied with 3 paces of land, then surely I would not be satisfied even with possessing one of the 7 islands consisting of 9 varshas. Even if I possess 1 island, I would hope to get others. We have heard that although powerful kings like Maharaj Prithu and Maharaj Gaya achieve proprietorship over the 7 dweeps, they could not achieve satisfaction or find the end of their ambitions. One should be satisfied with whatever he achieves by his previous destiny, for discontent can never bring happiness. A person who is not self-controlled will not be happy even with possessing the 3 worlds. Purport. If happiness is the ultimate goal of life, one must be satisfied with the position in which he is placed by Providence. This instruction is also given by Prahlad Maharaj. Sukham aindriyakam daitya deha yogena dehidam sarvatra labhyate daivad yatadhukam ayatnataha. My dear friends born of demoniac families, the happiness perceived with reference to the sense objects by contact with the body can be obtained in any form of life according to one's past fruit of activities. Such happiness is automatically obtained without endeavor, just as we obtain distress. This philosophy is perfect in regard to obtaining happiness. Real happiness is described in the Bhagavad Gita 6.21. Sukham atyantikam yattad pudigrayam atindriyam vetiyatra nachayivayam stitash chaliti tattvataha. In this spiritually joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness and enjoys himself through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth. One has to perceive happiness by the super senses. The super senses are not the senses of the material elements. Every one of us is a spiritual being, aham brahmasmi, and every one of us is an individual person. Our senses are now covered by material elements, and because of ignorance, we consider the material senses that cover us to be our real senses.
The real senses, however, are within the material covering, dehino sminyata dehe. Within the covering of the material elements are the spiritual senses. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tatparat vena nirmalam. When the spiritual senses are uncovered, by these senses we can become happy. We can be happy. Satisfaction of the spiritual senses is thus described. Hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhaktir uchite. When the senses are engaged in devotional service to Hrishikesh, then the senses are completely satisfied. With this superior knowledge of sense gratification, one may try to satisfy his without this superior knowledge of sense gratification, one may try to satisfy his material senses, but happiness will never be possible. One may increase his ambition for sense gratification and even achieve what he desires for the sense gratification of his senses, but because this is on the material platform, he will never achieve satisfaction and contentment. According to Brahminical culture, one should be content with whatever he obtains without special endeavor and should cultivate spiritual consciousness. Then he will be happy. The purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to spread this understanding. People who do not have scientific spiritual knowledge mistakenly think that the members of the Krishna consciousness movement are escapists trying to avoid material activities. In fact, however, we are engaged in real activities for obtaining the ultimate happiness in life. If one is not trained to satisfy the spiritual senses and continues in material sense gratification, he will never obtain happiness that is eternal and blissful. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.1 therefore recommends Tapo dibhyam bhutrakayena sattvam shudyat yasmad brahma saukyam tanantam. One must practice austerity so that his existential position will be purified and he will achieve unlimited blissful life. Text 25. Pumso yam samsritir hetur asantoshorta kamayoho yadrichcha yo papanena santosho muktaye smritaha. Material existence causes discontent in regard to fulfilling one's lusty desires and achieving more and more money. This is the cause for the continuation of material life, which is full of repeated birth and death. But one who is satisfied by that which is obtained by destiny is fit for liberation from this material existence. A Brahmana who is satisfied with whatever is providentially obtained is increasingly enlightened with spiritual power. But the spiritual potency of a dissatisfied Brahmana decreases as fire diminishes in potency when water is sprinkled upon it. Therefore, O King, from you, the best of those who give charity, I ask only 3 paces of land. By such a gift, I shall be very pleased, for the way of happiness is to be fully satisfied to receive that which is absolutely needed. Shukadeva Goswami continued, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead had thus spoken to Bali Maharaj, Bali smiled and told him, all right, take whatever you like. To confirm his promise to give Vamanadeva the desired land, he then took up his water pot. Understanding Lord Vishnu's purpose, Shukracharya, the best of the learned, immediately spoke as follows to his disciple, who was about to offer everything to Lord Vamanadeva. Shukracharya said, this Vamana is not a Brahmana. He's the greatest cheater, Lord Vishnu. Shukracharya said, O son of Virochana, this Brahmachari in the form of a dwarf is directly the imperishable Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Accepting Kashyapa Muni as his father and Aditi as his mother, he has now appeared in order to fulfill the interests of the demigods. You do not know what a dangerous position you have accepted by promising to give him land. I do not think that this promise is good for you. It will bring great harm to the demons. This person falsely appearing as a brahmachari is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, who has come in this form to take away all your land, wealth, beauty, power, fame, and education. After taking everything from you, he will deliver it to Indra, your enemy. Purport. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains in this regard that the very word Hari means one who takes away. If one connects himself with Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord takes away all his miseries.
And in the beginning, the Lord also superficially appears to take away all his material possessions, reputation, education, and beauty, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:88:8. The Lord said to Maharaj Yudhishthira, "The first installment of my mercy toward a devotee is that I take away all his possessions, especially his material opulence, his money. This is the special favor of the Lord toward a sincere devotee. If a sincere devotee wants Krishna above everything, but at the same time is attached to material possessions, which hinder his advancement in Krishna consciousness, by tactics the Lord takes away all his possessions." Here Shukracharya says that this dwarf brahmachari would take away everything. Thus he indicates that the Lord will take away all one's material possessions and also one's mind. If one delivers his mind to the lotus feet of Krishna, Savai Manak Krishna Padara Vindayoho, one can naturally sacrifice everything to satisfy him. Although Bali Maharaj was a devotee, he was attached to material possessions, and therefore the Lord, being very kind to him, showed him special favor by appearing as Lord Vaman to take away all his material possessions and his mind as well. And we'll stop there for tonight, because we used up an hour in Krishna's service, hearing and chanting about him. Ayu harati vaipumsam unyan ashtan chayanasau tasyarteya chananita uttama shloka vartaya. Both with rising and setting of the sun, one's life is diminished. In other words, the sun takes away one's life day after day, except for those who are engaged in hearing about the all-good Supreme Personality of Godhead. And now we'll see if there's any reflections. I'll bet we'll get a few.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, Dhanva Pranam, Jaya Prabhupada. This is Sadadevi Dasi. I'm facing some technical problems putting people into unmute mode. Just bear with me for a minute.
Okay.
While I'm trying to fix this problem, if you have any questions, you can text it to 650-245-7018. I'll be able to relay that to Vaishya Kapabhu. Once again, 650-245-7018.
Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, you can press star 6 to unmute yourself and put forward your question or comments or reflections.
We're taking reflections, questions. Shraddha?
Hari Hari. L.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Babaji, this is Rajesh Danvat. I like when you said this Brahmana is not Brahmana, he is a great eater.
That's from a play that my godbrother Kundara put on in St. Louis back in 78 or 9. He put on a beautiful puppet show about Lord Vamandev, and he wrote an opera that go along with it. And that was one of the lines from the opera. I liked it. I would like to find that opera somewhere. Somebody must have it written. It's recorded. It was beautifully done. Again. Nice, nice. Anyone else? A reflection? Oh, how convenient. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Maharaj, I don't have anybody in the QAQ right now, but I think we should just give them a few minutes. Yeah.
Well, I have a few questions. I noticed several things here. One is that very interesting in the text number 24 in the purport, Prabhupada says one has to perceive happiness by the super senses. The super senses are not the senses of the material elements. Every one of us is a spiritual being, a humbra masmi, and every one of us is an individual person. Our senses are now covered by material elements, and because of ignorance, we consider the material senses that cover us to be our real senses. So this is interesting. We have real senses, they're covered over now, and that's our problem. They're covered by matter. So by the process of devotional service, Sarvapati Vinirmuktam Tapratvina Nirmalam, spiritual senses become uncovered. I have another reflection.
Maharaj, we have got three people on the question queue, so I'm just going to open up.
Okay. All right, let's go ahead. Please, yeah. Come ahead with your reflections.
Randhavika Mataji, go ahead.
Can you hear me, Mataji?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Prabhuji, in general, about this whole pastime, I always have had this question in my mind. Like, how is it humiliating for Bali Maharaj, though he's a great devotee, that he is being pushed into Patala Loka in front of all his enemies? So sometimes it could happen like that in our life, which can be actually mercy. But we mostly take the humiliation part more than thinking that it is a mercy. So how do we really practice this principle in our devotional life?
How do we practice the principle of taking it as Lord's mercy and not just humiliated when something's taken away?
Yes, yes.
Well, it takes practice, because when I'm in a immature state and I'm very much attached to material things, when the Lord takes them away, because of my false ego, I identify with them so much. I think, oh, there goes me, there goes my reputation, and it's hard to appreciate it at all. But after experiencing the relief of actually having the Lord take away things, one begins to acquire a taste for it and willingly gives them up in the Lord's service and so forth. And when one experiences the nectar of actually being helpless and the Lord coming to appease that helpless person, then, you know, there's a taste for it. because we realize that all the other things that we have are, although they seem to be satisfactory, are actually weighing me down, and they're keeping me from that state of surrender. So it's really an acquired taste, and the Lord helps us along, because otherwise I wouldn't give things up unless he helps me to some extent and puts me in various situations. So you have to go through life and experience those things and see how you come out the other side okay and actually better off for it. And then, of course, as we mentioned last night, Queen Kunti is even praying for these kind of calamities and things being taken away, because then she said, then I can pray with sincere feeling. Otherwise, it's very difficult.
Thank you so
much. You're welcome.
It's really a difficult part, because there are so many material attachments. But as you said, I agree that that's the way to understand the real taste of devotion.
It's a small price to pay for going back home, back to Godhead.
Small price. Thank you, bro.
Who's next?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Shyamalangi.
Hare Krishna Shyamalangi, go ahead.
Yeah, this is one of my like favorite pastimes and of Vamandev. And I was really waiting for his steps, but we stopped just before that. And I like the place where Prabhupada says, you know, like by following Lord Shiva, Bali Maharaj also becomes a Mahajan, and so one Mahajan becomes by following another Mahajan, you become advanced in spiritual consciousness. So I was remembering Mahaguna Mataji's offering for Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada on the Prabhupada appearance day, when she was saying how she followed Prabhupada's method to bake cookies, and then once she just, you know, she changed it by herself, and then she just messed it up, and she remembers still from that day that she would always follow Prabhupada. So I just remembered that part.
Wow, nice. Well, you're going to have to dream about those 3 footsteps. Maybe we can pick it up again tomorrow. And also mark that section. It's very powerful. It reminds me of a verse that I quote a lot from the second chapter of the Bhagavatam, first canto, Bejre Munio Tagre Bhagavan Tamadhok Sajam Satvam Vishudam Shemaya Kolpanteye Nutaniha, that one who follows in the footsteps of the great souls becomes eligible for the same result. And it's just such a remarkable deal that And also in that section, I marked it, so let me go back and look. He said something very profound there.
Text 28, purport.
Which is it? 28 from the last chapter?
Yeah, it's in chapter 18, text 28.
Oh, perfect, okay. Yeah, I marked it right as we were speaking, and I noticed something about it. Prabhupada says, this example should be followed by everyone, or at least by every devotee, because Lord Shiva is one of the Mahajans. Similarly, Maharaj Bali also later became a Mahajan. One Mahajan follows another Mahajan, and by following the parampara system of Mahajan activities, one can become advanced in spiritual consciousness. And I really noted this idea of Mahajan activities. That is, by following the parampara system of Mahajan activities, there's tat karma pravartanat. There's all kinds of activities that are recommended by Rupa Goswami, for instance, in our parampara. And we're particularly Rupanugas, as Prabhupada said repeatedly. And all the acharyas in our line agree. We're following Rupa Goswami. He has given us the guidebook in the Nectar Devotion. And also Sanatan Goswami gives the Hari Bhakti Vilas by the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by following those activities, we're following the Mahajans also. So the kind of sadhana that we're doing, the Vaidhi sadhana that we're doing, actually is, sometimes people say, well, Vaidhi Bhakti leads you to Vaikuntha. It doesn't take you to spontaneous devotional service. But that's not the kind of Vaidhi we're rules and regulations that we're following. We're following the activities that are regulated by Rupa and Sanatan, and those activities lead to spontaneous devotional service. They lead to Goloka Vrindavan. So it's very important to analyze what kind of activities we're doing in following the Mahajans. Just analyze the morning program. It's easy to take for granted and just think, oh, it's Mangalartik, oh, it's Tulsi Puja, and so forth. But look at what's behind those, what's in the prayers, what is the tradition, and the kind of exposure we're getting to the great souls, the great Mahajans and personalities and transcendental entities who were in proximity to by performing these kinds of activities actually completely transform us and take us back to the spiritual world. And it is duplicatable. That is, that can be passed on all over the world, and that was Prabhupada's idea with ISKCON, to form an organization that would be able to propagate these activities, the activities of the Mahajans, and that when people would come in and follow properly, that they would be elevated and taken along. So I really appreciate that you noticed that point and brought it out. Thank you very much, Shyamalungi.
Thank you.
Another one? Someone else in the queue?
Yeah, Varshana Mataji.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. Guru Maharaj, a little confusion was there in my mind. When Mani Maharaj promises that he is ready to give the three steps asked by the Lord, but he has been told that you are making a big mistake. You will have no means to live after this. So Lord always takes care of his devotees, and Bali Maharaj was his a great devotee. So why did Brahmana say this way? That was my doubt.
Shukracharya said it.
Yes,
so Shukracharya was a materialist. That's why his name Shukra. Shukra means semen. It means that he's not a real guru. It means just a seminal guru. There's gurus that are hanging around because they get all kinds of benefits from their disciples, and those kinds of gurus who are not telling the truth. In other words, a guru who's a sadhu will cut and tell the disciple what he needs to know in order to make advancement. But a Shukracharya guru is one who tells his disciple what he needs to know to stay in business, so that the guru can keep getting benefits from the disciple. So that's the point. Shukracharya was materially motivated, and that's why he said it. Because he knew if Bali Maharaj gave away everything, then he'd lose his dakshina. And, you know, all the demons who are hanging on to Bali Maharaj, they'd lose everything too, and the whole party would be over. So materialists don't want the party to be over. They want to keep trying to party here in the material world, and they don't want to see Vamanadeva step in and ruin it. But Bali wasn't going to listen to him and didn't listen to him because he had that deep down devotion for Vamanadeva.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
You're welcome. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Anyone else? Oh, yeah, go ahead.
No, Maharaj, this is Shraddha Devi Dasi. I was just saying that was the last question in the queue.
Okay, fantastic. Well, it was a good night, and we'll leave it at that for now. Everyone can dream about the beautiful Brahmachari Vamanadeva who showed up with deerskin cloth over and a little Brahmachari stick and matted hair and effulgence. And may Vamanadeva empower everyone to bring their minds always to the lotus feet of the Lord. Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bo.
Hari
Hari
Bo. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Guru Maharaj.
Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna. Kripa Sanabeva Cha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Gopinande Hari Hari Bo.